Welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology with your host, Caleb Moore, and you have found yourself on my back porch. Well, we are in the middle of addressing some of the serious issues of the day, one of the chief of which is statism. That's right, the state, governors, mayors run amok, oh my, thinking that they are God. Well, we've got news for them. The Bible says something quite different, that in fact, they have to bow the knee to Jesus. That's right. Christ is king over Florida, California, Kentucky. Yes, the whole wide world. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians think that passages like Romans 13 gives the state the ability to run amok and tells the Christian to continue to bow the knee to the state. Well, the Bible actually says something quite different. So, pull up your favorite rocking chair and sit with us for a little bit as we discuss defying tyrants, fighting for liberty, all from a Christian perspective.
Ourselves, they really made some headway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What my contention has been too, do I want to live life where I'm not worshiping the Lord? Mm-hmm. And I believe corporate worship is different. I don't believe I can have the same kind of personal devotion as I can have when God's people assemble in Christ's name on the Lord's Day. I don't believe I can replicate that. Yeah. I can't do it through a Zoom call, like you said. I have to be with the body. And I have to enjoy all the graces that have come with God's people gathering in person. And you remember, this is the initial discussion that God has with Moses and Moses the Pharaoh, that we would go, they would be released, that they might be able to worship the Lord. So this is first table of the law in its highest form. And this is the thing we quickly want to get away from and say, well, why got to love our neighbor? I got to do the second table of law stuff. We can't neglect that. It's anarchy if we don't obey the first table.
Yeah.
And I think this is a first table issue.
I'm glad you brought that up about that instance with Moses and Pharaoh, because Moses tried, or Pharaoh rather, tried meeting Moses halfway and saying, okay, you adults can go out and worship, but leave the kids behind. So that's kind of like Governor Newsom saying, okay, you guys can meet, but it has to be with social distancing, and which is the new 13th commandment, like I said. And you can't sing, no singing. So I'm gonna tell you how you can worship God. And the real shame is that there's actually Christians that are bowing the knee and obeying those edicts from him. Whereas Moses would have said, nope, I'm sorry. The Lord God Almighty says this is how we're supposed to worship, and this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and there's. Like, that's a perfect example of God commanding individuals to not submit to their governing authority.
Yeah.
You know, they were subjects, slaves, subjects of the Egyptian Empire at the time, you know, and now God said they weren't, you know. So we can't read this and just say there's never a time to, you know, reject your local, your geographical, you know, civil magistrate. You just can't read that this way. That would be taking this so out of context. You know, and I don't know, there's lots of people that think that specifically, but a lot of the ways that they act could be perceived as that. You know, like we just have to, the Bible says to obey our government, our governing authorities, and, you know, by assuming that a lot of these regulations and restrictions were from a good place, were coming from a good heart, you know, we assume that, and it makes them easier to obey in their mind. You know, but we just can't assume that.
Yeah,
we don't have that luxury with this government. We don't have that luxury with people, with fallen human beings. You know.
Yeah, it's something actually I'm planning on doing a whole episode about, but throw it out there a little bit now is one of the ways, if we're being biblically minded about decision making, if you consider the requirements of an elder, for example, in a church, 1 Timothy and Titus, that a big part of a man who has proven himself to be a leader is that he has proven himself. So you look at the track record. How does he lead his family, for example? right? If he can lead his family biblically, that's a good sign that he is the man for the job, right? So let's look at, just for a moment, the state's track record and see if they have any footing on telling us how to love our neighbor. Well, if there wasn't aborted baby blood dripping off their hands as they tell us how to love our neighbor, maybe we could believe something that they have to say.
Yeah, I mean, the credibility is lost on that, and
that's enough. I mean, one item.
Absolutely.
If my next door neighbor just got done killing their child and they came over to my house and tried to lecture me on how to be a good parent, I would say, get off my front porch, please.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, they have to have that track record of obedience,
yeah.
You know, and that's
and that's just basic. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You know, we would call that common sense, and one day we would have called that common sense.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But here we are. It's difficult.
So what's the play?
I think back to Romans 13, you have just a, in our, well, really worldwide, where governments and they're defining what good is for us. So, I mean, back to Romans 13, verse 3, then do what is good and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. So they're making everybody believe that what the government, what we mandate down to the people is good, is for our good. So I think that's the hang up where a lot of churchgoers, a lot of Christians just go right along with it. It's for our good. They say it's for our good, so therefore we need to just submit to them. So is that how we're supposed to, you know, recognize on what is good and stuff, by the government telling us what is good?
Yeah, and they're dictating what is good, and even their own response to this crisis, because they're saying all the health professionals have been lecturing us, all of us law-abiding citizens, to stay inside, to not go to work, to wear our masks, and then suddenly a concern of Black Lives Matter comes up, and there are all these protests and riots, and there are, you know, national, federal government health officials saying, do not go outside, but if you're going outside to protest this, it's fine. You know, that just shows you that it's inconsistent.
They overplayed their hand.
Yeah, for sure.
They showed their cards really quick.
For sure, but at the very least, seeing that, you should go, okay, maybe this is not just about this coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is about something else. This is about the messages we want to be heard and the messages we don't. All those people who are protesting, you shutting down our economy and making us wear masks or whatever it is. Anybody protesting that stuff, that is a voice that we don't want to hear. So we're deeming it bad.
Yeah.
Us, the government, the great government. But this idea is something that we're politically favorable towards. So you can go ahead and say it. You know, you can go ahead and do everything that you want to do. You know, and that includes breaking the law. And a lot of that included rioting and all this other stuff. And so it's just coming back to that, questioning them a little bit more, which is to have this blind faith. You know, Romans 13 is not a call for blind faith in our government. That's just, that can't be the way you take it. It should be a call to testing them and making sure that they're governing based on the principles of God.
Yeah.
You know, because they're instituted by him.
Romans 13 is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for the government to do whatever the heck they want to do. It's actually, so the question, one way, one paradigm to break it down to is Romans 13, is it descriptive or is it prescriptive? Right? Is Paul describing what the government is by very nature of the fact that it's civil government, or is he actually prescribing what it ought to be? It's kind of a simple way to paint it for our brothers and sisters in Christ that struggle with these things.
I like that. Yeah. Because the pulling that out of context, you know, like that, by saying that these are prescriptive verses. They're saying this is how we, you know, are to act, or the government is supposed to act. Is different than describing the context and the situation of the, you know, institution.
I mean, from the Christian's perspective, Romans 13, like you're saying, this is how the government should act. They should be punishing evildoers. So as the Christian, being told not to worship God, to not go to church, not gather, you're being punished.
Yeah.
It's what good? How could you defend that this is a good thing you know, that the authorities are telling you to do. I mean, you, not an evildoer, is being told not to do something which is evil.
Yep. Well, I think it's also a reflection of the wickedness in America, the wickedness of the people. We have wicked rulers because we're wicked people. And we need to repent. It has to start in the church. We need to be holy people. And God has given us rulers that are suitable for wicked people. And they're asking us as wicked people to do all the things that contradict, I mean, line by line, that they're telling us we have to support and embrace homosexuality. We have to embrace fornication. We have to embrace transgenderism, which is an assault on God as creator. So they assaulted God as creator and all of his laws, basically every one of them, and they say you have to embrace it. So we have to stand up as Christians and say, no, we can't do that, because this clearly defies the clearly articulated word of God, which calls us to obey him in all these ways. And so the church has said, okay, well, we're going to look the other way on this, and that's one of our big failures. We've been looking the other way for far too long.
Yeah, I think it was Calvin, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but Calvin, all those years ago, said that when God wants to bless a nation, he gives them righteous rulers. You know?
I think that's another thing that's kind of coming out of this is, where are they, the righteous rulers, you know? And why aren't the people in our communities just, like, almost to the point of being a little ridiculous, just, like, raising up and encouraging people within our community, young men and women, to grow up and to be faithful rulers of their authorities, you know, the authorities that they have. And why aren't more people who think about this the way we do running for office?
Yeah.
You know, why aren't more faithful people doing that?
Yeah.
You know, we need to. We've neglected it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just not cool or what it is. But
it comes to a lot of cost. Nobody wants to pay the cost of having your life destroyed and your family attacked. But this is a time of courage and boldness, all our lesson today, our prayer meeting tonight. We actually need to be those people who are going to say, we understand the cost is going to be very great for us to do this, but we have to do it.
Yeah.
What better time than now?
No time like the present.
Yeah, that's it. And Pastor, like you said a moment ago, we have to be holy ourselves. I have to throw it out there that holy people would not stomach such wicked rulers, right? And I brought this up at men's meeting the other night, that is Proverbs 28, I think it is, verse 1, it says that the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one pursues. Right? So if righteousness is our, if we have backbones of steel because we are upright, righteous people, our sins being cleansed away by the blood of Christ, us being renewed in knowledge daily after the image of our Creator, then how in the world would we stomach Pharaoh trampled through the streets, you know, legislating unrighteous laws?
Yeah, the thing that we talk about tonight is we don't even find it offensive. Maybe not us, but Christianity in general doesn't find these very despicable things offensive anymore. Where we've been conditioned to accept or tolerate every form of evil because it's just the nature of the world that we live in. And I think that's a very big mistake for us just to accept it. And we need to... And, you know, you mentioned being holy, and that requires us to be repenters. We're not perfect, and we're going to fail miserably, but we're a worshiping and repenting people. We go back to those two. We're always returning to the Lord, and we're always in worship, and we're always turning away from our sin. So we're not arguing for this utopian idea that as Christians we're going to do everything perfectly, but we're grounded in the Word, and we're united to Christ, and therefore we keep continually turning away from our sin, and we are renewed, and we are sanctified, and we are progressing in godliness and holiness.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we need to be forward-thinking people. We need to be thinking about the future. What's next? So, the government's going to tell you when the church is going to open back up, when you can start going back to church, with what stipulations, like, you know. You can only do it at these certain times. Then what? You know, we can't meet on Sundays anymore. You can only do it on a Wednesday evening or something. Or what China's going through. Yep. They got to put pictures of their prime minister up, and they got to, you know, say their vows to the government. And you know, sing the songs that the government gives them to sing and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, where's the forward thinking and the being one or two or three steps ahead of the government in all this?
That's a great point. It's like, how many people are thinking beyond this coronavirus? Not many
people.
No,
it's just, it's the times we live in, so right. we just got to accept it. You
know? Right. What is our government and political landscape look like after this? Do we have any of our freedoms left? You know, a lot of people are thinking that, and a lot of people called us ridiculous for saying that at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
But here we are talking about all these crazy things that could happen, like, you know, having to get vaccinated to go to work, or, you know, all this other stuff that could happen because we didn't say no early enough.
Yeah.
And we didn't say hold on early enough.
Yeah.
Well, they proved they could close the churches. You quoted at some point, or I don't remember when it was, but you quoted a statistic about how many churches were meeting, and it was
1%.
1%. So 99% of the churches said, okay, 1%. we're going to close up shop because of that. And I think that was a great test case for them, and now they're going to do that again.
Yeah.
Again.
Like in California. Yep.
Which is next flu season.
Yeah.
They'll just call it something other than influenza, and why not have the same reaction?
Yeah.
You know, that's all they had to do with this in a lot of ways, and I understand it. I've heard enough about the science of it all. There's a different strain, and it's unique in that way, but how many things like that are just going to come
yeah.
go?
Yeah.
You know? Since time in memoriam, there's been stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's been things that have done much worse to our population.
Yeah.
And, you know, when's the next one?
Yeah.
We might have to consider an alternative economic structure as Christians to work with each other, because if they do mandatory vaccines for this virus as a way to conduct commerce and do things, that's going to create a huge challenge for all of us. So we need to be thinking about that now, because there's going to be a mandate for vaccines. And so we're going to have to decide whether we're going to participate in that or not. And it's already, you know, today I was temperature checked for the first time to engage in commerce. I've been asked to wear a mask to go into stores. So where does it end?
Yeah.
And they love the control. And for them, the control and the power is really their motivation. They're wicked men. They care nothing about the good of the people. It's their ability to seize power.
Yeah. Yeah. So something I try to bring most conversations back around to is that every worldview has the same telos, has the same end goal, which is world domination. Every worldview is seeking to make disciples. And that's where the mask thing really, really makes my skin crawl, because what I feel like when the couple times I've had to put them on, like flying in an airplane, I feel like I'm just falling in line. I feel like my face is turning into a little lemming's face when I put that face mask on, because it's a real sign of submission. And Saint Anthony of Fauci has said as much. He said it's not really about containing the virus. It's about a feeling of safety. That's what Mr. High Priest of the CDC. That's what he says. That it's a symbol. It's a symbol of what? Of submission.
Well, that's the thing, is coming back to it, it's that the tyranny and the oppression will not come all of a sudden with tanks rolling down the street. Like, I think that's sometimes how we want to think it's going to come. It's going to come in little things, and so many people...
The velvet glove that you talked about.
So many people will just say it's a piece of cloth that takes 5 seconds to put on your face that doesn't affect you that much, so just do it. You know, all these hashtags going around, wear a bleeping mask, you know, all this other stuff. It's like, you know... I see what you're saying in a sense. You're like, okay, this is the way to control it. It's so easy. Just do it. But at the end of the day, it's people are saying, well, are just questioning, well, who's telling me to?
Yeah.
You know? And the worst part of it all is that the government can just sit back, because they've got everybody else policing each other.
Yeah.
Everybody in the Walmart when I walk in is looking at me and I don't have one on.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of side-eyeing me. And then the business owners and the managers have to yell and kick me out or whatever. You know, they get to stay home. Because we're doing it to ourselves,
yeah.
You know? And the good thing about our country is we still have the power, largely still remains with the people. They just have incredible influence over the people right now.
They've been discipled,
yeah. And so we have to continue to fight that fight. And even if it's the little things, and even if you get called names for not doing certain things,
yeah.
You know, this is not the don't wear a mask podcast, because if you feel like you need to, like, or it's your decision. We're not the people here to say don't wear one or do wear one. It's your decision. But in a large sense, you ask, where is that message coming from? Where is that command coming from? Is it my family felt like we needed to wear one? Or is it a government saying that we're going to fine your favorite businesses if they don't make you wear one?
Yeah, well, at this point, I would say I would encourage people not to wear a mask, because the whole ninth commandment of thou shalt not lie.
Yeah.
You know, because like we've said already, that the face mask does little of anything to protect you from anything. And the question too is, what is the real enemy out there? Is the real enemy this mystical virus that kills 0.04% of the people that contract it? Or is the real threat out there tyranny, statism, humanism setting on its throne above the throne of God? Right? What's the enemy to be avoided here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
So gentlemen, I think, I asked a question earlier on of what are some examples from Scripture of men and women who defied the state and incurred the blessing of and commendation of God in so doing. And again, Samuel Adams, to defy tyrants is to obey God. The Lord Jesus himself, when he was sentenced to be crucified, who issued that sentence? The state of Rome. And 3 days later, the ultimate defiance of tyranny of human history, when he marched out of that grave alive.
Absolutely.
And said, know that he is the King of all kings. Kiss the Son.
Bless you, man.
You perish in the way.
Whose wrath is kindled but a little.
Yeah. So let's repent. Let's push back every chance we get. And let's proclaim the Lordship of Christ in every area of life, as we do commerce, as we engage in business, as we engage with our neighbors. Let's push back against the leftism out there. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope you had a good time on the back porch with us. Thanks for hanging out. And if you haven't yet, please, as a little reminder, show the love. Give us a big old fat 5-star rating on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. That way, every time we hang out on the back porch, you can be there too. I do hope that this little series has helped to equip you, give you a tool in your tool belt to help reclaim our nation for Christ. And as always, until next time, keep your hand to the plow, remain steadfast, and always abound in the work of the Lord. We'll catch you next time.